But we have the fruit of the Spirit here in our spirit, but we need to consciously, on purpose, with a purpose, work that out from our spirit man out to our out here to our soulish man. Out here where we're touching the world with the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of the fruit of the Spirit. We want to be touching the world with this fruit. We want to be developing ourselves. Now, we're sanctified already. We're already born again. We're going to heaven. We're children of God. That's not what we're trying to earn as we develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What we're trying to do is get who we are already in Christ out to the open. And as we do that, it benefits our life and it benefits everybody around us, doesn't it? Now, we were studying the Holy Spirit, and we got up to the place where we're going to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But the Spirit of God just really stopped me and says, look, we need to major on and in our lives the fruit of the Spirit so that when we operate in the gift of the Spirit, we're not hurting people. We're doing it with the right motivation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts teaching them about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit. Then in chapter 13, then he starts talking about love. Start talking about how we need to be walking in love. And then in chapter 14, then he picks up and starts to talk about how to do how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit in the church decently and in order. And it seems like it's almost out of place when he stuck love right in between. You know, it's like he paused and taught a whole other lesson. But what he was saying to us is that love is a fruit. And if we're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, when we operate in spiritual gifts, then we're going to get people in trouble. We're going to hurt people. We're not going to flow in the gifts if we're not operating in the fruit first. So we decide we're going to go to the fruit of the Spirit and we're going to develop this in our lives. And so here's Galatians 5. What is this fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to in the Amplified where it says the fruit of the Spirit, says the work which His presence within accomplishes. So this is something that, this fruit that is in our spirit, God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us manifest this out of us. Amen? So it was meant for the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. And this is that the work which His presence within accomplishes is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So these are the nine characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been born of the Spirit, then your born-again spirit has been born of the Holy Spirit. And we, in John chapter 3, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, an orange produces an orange. An apple produces an apple. Flesh produces flesh, and spirit produces spirit. And you're not going to have an orange produce a grapes. Huh? So if you were born by the Holy Spirit, then you have the character traits of the Holy Spirit. So this is in your spirit. You look just like the Holy Spirit in these nine character traits. And we should be manifesting them out of us. Jesus did as He walked on the earth. As you read His account, and as He walked on the earth, He manifested these nine character traits, and He was very successful in ministering, wasn't He? Man. All right, so we are studying the fruit of the Spirit. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. In talking about the fact that we were born of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 9. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. First John 3:9, no one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning because he is born or begotten of God. Notice he said that we are born of the divine sperm. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The divine sperm, which remains permanently within you. And because of that, his divine life principles are in there. Did you see that in that? So, but we need to take that which we've been born, because we look just like the Holy Spirit. We have those character traits. We need to get that divine sperm that we've been born at, those principles of life, from the inside out of us. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, you know, the first time that I read that, I was like, whoa. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? So we have been born of God, born of the Spirit, and we have those principles of life on the inside of us. And it remains permanently within you. So this is eternal. So we are born of God, the divine sperm, John 3. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit and born again. We have to grow up and mature by faith to bring the fruit out from within us out, don't we? Maturity happens to the degree I'm willing to walk by faith. See, this is something we have to do by faith. We have to believe that we have love, joy, peace, all of these in us. And we need to stand on those things and develop those things in our life on purpose. And we need to do it before we need them, so that we can love people that aren't so lovely. So we can have joy when things are not going good. It is not based on our circumstances, the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law that regulates the fruit of the Spirit. No, it is an established thing that's on the inside of us, and we need to walk in it by faith. And sometimes that's tough. Because when you're in a situation where it's not a lot of joy involved in that, or there's not a lot of peace in the natural concerning that, you say, no, I am walking in love, I'm walking in peace, I'm walking in joy, and it's going to be that way and no other. And it's in there. Now, there's times when down in my basement, I'll just start, I just start praying in the Spirit. I just start lifting God up, even though the circumstances are bad. And I'm telling you, the love, the joy, the peace. Come on, we got to start. The Holy Spirit was given to us. Let's use Him. Let's have some communion with Him. Let's not ignore Him. He's right there, ready to help and minister to us. And by faith, we need to do that. But you know, when we're in circumstances, we have a tendency to just knee-jerk reaction to those circumstances and just allow circumstances to defeat us and never even consider God's role in this thing, how He could help us with this situation and say, no, I'm not going to be moved by this. See, I mean, we just talked about David here, how here he's being chased by Saul. He's been anointed king. He's being chased by Saul. He's throwing spears at him. He's got a hunting party out to take his head. And he's encouraging himself in the Lord. He's just going, God, 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 I'm just going to rest in You. I'm going to let You take care of the situation. And, you know, when you allow Him to take care of the situation, woo, it gets taken care of. Amen. All right. In fact, let's go to Romans 10 real quick here. In my time of prayer today, this past week, I just felt led to go this before we got into the long sufferings, what we're going to talk about. Romans chapter 10. But just a simple faith made simple, faith principles here. In Romans 10:17, it says what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. See, we need to be hearing the Word of God all the time. Not just on Sunday. Okay, well, we got three or four. We need to be in the Word. Be in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. Because this is where faith comes. How come my faith isn't up? Well, when's the last time you've been in the Word? Well, you know, Sunday, that was a pretty good message. Daily we need to be in the Word. Daily we need to be praying and seeking God and bringing our petitions to Him and praying in the Spirit so that we're always built up, so that we can always stand. So faith comes by hearing. Then next, faith comes by believing. Look at Romans 10:8. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And we need to be filling ourselves with the word and getting that faith and then having us, you know, the more that we hear it, the more we start believing it. And out of the abundance of our heart, what? The mouth speaks, which leads us to the next thing. We need to be confessing the word. We need to be saying, I've got love. I'd like to murder this guy, but I got love. And your natural reaction would just like, you'd like to just haul off and give him the fivefold ministry. But I'm here to tell you that that's what the fruit of the Spirit has been given to us, sown in our spirit so that we can walk in the light of that. And He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can't, so that, I'm having a hard time doing it. That's okay. You have the Holy Spirit to help you. Partner with Him in this earth. And let Him develop the fruit of the Spirit. It's something, it's what you are. You are these nine characteristics. We just need to develop them in our lives. We need to water them. We need to be constantly cultivating them. So for an example, like love. Well, you have to confess it. And then in James 2:20, it says what? That faith without works is dead. So we need to act it. It's not enough just to have the faith, believe it, say it with your mouth, but we need to walk in it now. We need to walk in it. That's the hard. That's one of the harder parts, isn't it? To actually walk in a love in a non-loving situation. To walk in joy when it's not so fun. So we need to, like for instance for love, we get this word in our heart and we're enjoying it. Man, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You just, I mean, if you have to have a little card pinned up on your mirror so while you're brushing your teeth, you're kind of saying, I got love, I got love, I got love in me. God is love and I'm love too. Every time you're brushing your teeth, just keep it in front of you, keep it in front of you. Then you believe it, you must believe that you have love in your spirit. Then you must start confessing, I've got love in my spirit. I am love. I am love. I am joy. I am peace. And then we need to manifest that through acting on it. That you starting to act lovely. Amen. All right. We talked about last week about joy and peace. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's God's purpose and plan for our life. There, we're able to walk with seemingly no care, like the roadrunner. No care going down the path of life while there's turmoil at the right hand and to the left or wing of the roadrunner. No matter what's going on around him, he's enjoying life. He's having a good time. And this is what, and really that's what the scripture is talking about here. This is God's purpose and plan for our lives, that we have a peace of God which passes all understanding. It's the peace of God. It's not our peace. It's not what the world gives, but it's what God gives us. And He put it in our spirits. for us to glean from, so it would guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. In Romans 5:1, in the Amplified, it says, "Therefore, since we are, in effect, justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Man. Notice that we have this peace. It's not something that's coming. We already have it, don't we? And it's in our spirit. In Isaiah 26:3, last week, we discovered that "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So if your mind is stayed on and you trust in him, what do you have? Perfect peace. Man. How many people are looking for even some peace? Just give me a piece of some peace. I'll take it. Just give me a sliver. That'd be awesome. But have your mind stayed and you're trusting in him. That's where the peace comes from. Yeah, Marty's walking in it. Woo-wee. All right, so let's go to long-suffering now. This is the next fruit that's up. Now, I used to think that long-suffering meant suffering a long time. That God just wants me to suffer a long time. You know, I mean, I've got this fibromyalgia, or I've got this hip thing, or I've got this thing, and God's teaching me something through this. And I'm just going to suffer with it long, and I'm going to learn my lesson from God, and I'm going to get... That is not what the Word says. Man, you already have what you need in your spirit. So once you learn something and get healed, instead of limping along with this whatever it is that you're dealing with, long-suffering isn't suffering with something that Jesus has already died on the cross for. He wants to settle that flat out and plain. Poverty and sickness and even your sin. Well, I'm going to have them suffer with their sin for a while and teach them a lesson. Does that sound ridiculous to you? Well, it sounds just as ridiculous when we talk about bearing long with our sicknesses and all that. God wants us healed. He bought and paid for our sin. He bought and paid for our healing. He bought and paid for our prosperity. All of these things he's bought and already paid for. That's not what he's long-suffering. That's not what he wants us to suffer long with. But there is Christian suffering. Persecution. Hatred for Jesus' sake. Being falsely accused. All of these kind of things. The things that man would put upon us. These things God wants us to have long-suffering. Wants us to endure, wants us to push through. In Mark 10:29, go ahead and go to Mark 10:29. You'll see Jesus more than once mention this. But Mark 10:29 says, "So Jesus answered and said," They were talking about the rich young ruler, and Jesus says, "Well, how hard is it going to be for a man to enter into the kingdom of God? It'd be like a camel going through the eye of a needle, and yes, it's a physical sewing needle. That's how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not because he has riches, but because he'll never trust God over his riches. That's the reason why." That's why Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, he said, "You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon." He knows that's his biggest competition is going to be stuff, things. And so he said how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then Peter jumps up and goes, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to be saved?" There wasn't a poor boy in the bunch. I mean, they still had businesses back home. I mean, they had money. They were doing fine. And Jesus says, hey, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Didn't he say that? And then Jesus said here in verse 29, he says, so Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my sake or the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this lifetime, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Did you hear that? See, he doesn't promise us, and you never find in the Word, that he delivers us from persecutions. So there is a long suffering. There is something that we endure here on this earth, and that is Christian long suffering. But I'm telling you, through that, we are such an awesome testimony when we stand in the face of trials and tribulations. It's an awesome witness. And he's saying that we can, through long suffering, we can do that with a special kind of grace that the world will be shocked at. You know, the early church, when they were going through persecutions in the arenas and the Roman Colosseums and whatnot, there was a special grace when they were being persecuted that was such a testimony that other Romans were jumping out of the grandstands and going, I want to be part of who they are and what they're doing. They've got something I've never seen before. It was an awesome testimony. And they didn't hate the Romans. They didn't hate the persecution that they were going through. They didn't hate the people that were doing it. Their eyes were so on Jesus. They were so in love with God that it didn't matter what people did to them. Paul would say, look, they would tell Paul, we're going to kill you. And he'd go, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. So they'd go, okay, well, then we're not going to kill you. He said, that's great, I can keep spreading the gospel. He was a man in a roundhouse. You couldn't corner him. That's where we should be. This is what he's trying to teach the Galatian church here, the Galatians. That there is something in our spirits that we need to cultivate so that we can walk on this earth with a peace and a grace that nobody else understands. It goes beyond our comprehension, goes beyond other people's comprehension. They're going, who are you? How can you have so much, you know, when everything's falling apart and you're just standing there smiling going, praise God. And I'm not talking about a false peace. I'm not talking about putting on this plastic face and going, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm talking about a genuine, on the inside of you, peace and joy that's manifesting in your life. And everybody feels it in the spirit realm. Amen. And this doesn't come overnight, my brothers and sisters. It's something you got to develop over time. And you need to start now, if you haven't already started. Developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Long-suffering. Let's look at the definition. Number one, patience and endurance. Standing against those things that try to hinder the will of God in my life. And I'll tell you, the devil's going to come against you and people are going to come against you when you're called by God to do something. I mean, instantly, roadblocks start going up. And there's willing subjects that the devil can use to stand in your path. Well, I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about believers. You'll get blindsided by people you never thought would come against you. They would just all of a sudden blindside you with their attitude or their, you know, and make you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming from that person. I thought they were my strongest supporter. And whoa. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't allow those things to bother you, but you long suffer, you have patience with people, you just let it slide off you like water off a duck's back, and you just go, you know what, God? It doesn't matter what people say and what people do. You called me to this, and I'm doing this. And I'm going forward. And I will not be moved. And every one of you've got, God's called you to something. And I'm not saying that you're necessarily been called to a fivefold ministry, but maybe you've been called to be a just a stay-home mom raising the kids. That's challenging enough. You got to pray in tongues to do that. Or you'd be tempted to go back to the Old Testament and stone them. Develop that grace and that joy and that peace. But I'll tell you what, you know, we've had times with our kids, it's like going, what are they thinking? They're not. What in the world? They didn't learn that from me. But instead of being hard on them and browbeating them and giving them, you know, the riot act or whatever, you just share the word with them, you're patient with them, you keep loving them, and I'm telling you, every time they just come right around. Because the wages of sin is death. I mean, eventually they're going to fall. Eventually they're going to feel the pinch. And I want them to feel welcome, to know that they can come home and that they can feel comfortable confiding in us because we're with them all the way. It's the way God is with us, isn't He? He never leaves us nor forsakes us, no matter how rebellious we get and how stubborn we get. He stays with us. Pressing through the obstacles by faith, resisting the devil, He's not going to be easy on you. The second one is forbearance. Forbearing the offense of others, learning to put up with people. The first need to learn, I first need to learn to forgive myself of my shortcomings, or I will not be able to forgive others theirs. And that's true. You know what? We are our worst critics. And if we're beating ourselves up, we're going to beat other people up. Hurting people hurt other people, don't they? And so we need to give ourselves a break. Cut us some slack. Because when you're dealing with situations, God's good with us. He's okay with us. Why aren't we okay with us? I'm not saying that, you know, well, I don't care if I got this problem or that problem. I'm just going to, you know. No, I mean, you're developing. You're improving. You know if you're trying. And bless God, God's patient with you. Abraham, God wanted to give Abraham a child. It took 25 years to get him to the place where he could believe for a child. 25 years. He never once gave up on him. Well, he's got a lot of time. Work with me. And I know there's some things that come easy and some things that come hard. But see, that's why we have the Holy Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit that we can develop. You'd be surprised. You develop the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you and some of these trouble spots that you've been hammering on, all of a sudden just fall off. That sounds too easy. Well, I invite you to go for it. Number three, fortitude. Fortitude. Hang on to the vision and promises of God and not let go. Don't quit or give up. And see, that fruit of long suffering keeps us going when it seems like everything is falling apart around us. I don't see how this is ever going to come to pass. But you stay with it. You stay on it and stay on it and stay on it and stay on it. Remember, there was a time with this church, we went a whole year and it seemed like it was the same 13 to 15 people. And I was like, God, have I missed it? And I just stuck with it. And God said, if I gave you these same people for the next 10 years, would you be okay with that? And I said, well, yes, Lord. I mean, we need to have, and not so easily chuck things, but have that long suffering operating in our lives. And I'll tell you what, After I was able to settle that with God and whatnot, then things grew. Things got a lot better in that area, didn't it? But I'm just saying that we need to have the tenacity. We need to have our strength in pursuing and keeping going. You know, there's going to be times, some of you students here, when you're going to school, that things are going to seem financially tough or this tough, or you're going to get tired and want to quit. You need this fruit developed in your life, the long suffering, to where you have got the tenacity of that. God called me to this. I'm not quitting. I'm going forward. There's an answer to this. If my finances are weak, God's going to shore it up. God's going to see to it. God always made sure that Sherris and I had our tuition. Every time. We were always taken care of. Even when we lost our jobs and what are we going to do now? God always came through. We never missed a bill. We always ate. We were always warm. But it had been easy many times just to pull back and just go, well, okay, maybe this isn't God. Don't chicken out. Visions die because we give up too soon. I mean, there's times when you think like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and throw in the towel. And then it's like you get this one last hang in there. And all of a sudden you get a breakthrough. I'll tell you, when things get the roughest, that's when you know that the devil is throwing everything he can at you because he knows that you're about to get a breakthrough. And so he's throwing everything at you to get you to surrender just before that breakthrough. Man, I've seen that time and time again when you're right on the edge of just saying, you know what, I'm just done with this. And he says, no, you stay with it. Keep hanging in there. And then, boom, something will come out of nowhere and deliver you. And you just press and you go right on. You're going, hallelujah. We so easily give up. And he's given us this fruit. My neighbor was out there, and we got pretty sizable property. And my neighbor's out there in a push mower, and she had let the grass get up. I mean, it was up. She's out there with a push mower. And so it's going to take her till next summer to mow this yard at that speed. And I'm out there painting my house. I was painting the trim on the house and all that kind of stuff. And man, the Lord was, I mean, compassion, compassion, compassion came over. I mean, man, she needs help. And so I walk over there and I says, hey, how about you let me take my tractor? I've got a lawn tractor. Why don't you let me take my tractor and mow this for you? She goes, really? Why would you do that? I said, because Jesus told me while I was painting that I should mow your yard. What do you say? She goes, okay. She goes, I gotta go pick up my daughter, and I got this errand to run, I got this thing to do, and now I'm out here putting. And I said, well, then see, God answered your prayer, didn't he? She goes, okay. So she put the mower away. I got out my tractor, and I just piece of cake. Well, when I got done with it, I got back in, put it all away, and then I went to get my car keys, and I went, where's my car keys? Where's my car keys? You were there, weren't you? Martin was there. Where's my car keys? I got this massive area, probably about as big as this room right here, that I mowed, where it's a needle in the haystack. Where am I going to find these car keys? So Martin and I, we start, you know, just like you would, you know, search and rescue. You're doing this. You know, looking for these keys, you know, and it's just like, we're never going to. So finally I said, stop. I start praying in the Spirit as I'm walking out there. Kula tabaria, give me revelation. You know, Spirit of God, you know where these keys are. I don't have time to sit here and complete every square inch of this property. And I got a vision of keys in the car. How's that possible? And it was keys to my Pathfinder, but they're in my Hyundai. And I'm like, come on. But I went, okay, nope, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. And I went over there, and I opened it up, and I looked, and I don't see it. I sat in the driver's seat, looked around, and in the passenger seat, there were the keys laying. Wow. And to this day, I don't remember me throwing those keys into that seat. Thank you, Jesus. But I'll tell you what, I was ready to give up. I was like, this is too much. Got Martin way over there scanning. I'm over here scanning. I'm like going. But instead of quitting, start turning to the spirit realm. The physical realm was not meeting my need. This was not cutting it. So I turned to the Spirit and I said, Spirit, I need your help in this. And he answers your prayer. We were doing children's church, and our desire was is to have a projector. And so this friend of ours had some church in Woodland Park had gotten blessed with a large sum of money. And so they were giving their old stuff away and buying new projectors, new sound system, new everything. And they were just, for other churches, they had... Pardon me? The Woodland Park. Oh, that's right. That was another thing, wasn't it? Okay. See, that's why I have my wife. She's my brain. No, yeah, it was a Woodland Park school district that gave us the projector, wasn't it? And this thing didn't work. And I went, oh, what is up with this projector? I mean, I know God blessed us with it. We prayed for this projector. And I'm like, this doesn't seem right. It seems like there's a fix to this thing. You turn it on, the lamp wouldn't come on. And I went, God. So we were sitting in our house, and I had it all set up, and I got online to an owner's manual and looked at what I had to do. And there was a sequence in there where it said, well, you need to reset the lamp. It's like it times out after for so long. And I said, that must be it. So I said, push these two buttons. I pushed these, hold them down for so long, and let them go, and nothing worked. And I'm like going, come on. This has got to work. And I just did this thing over and over again, reread the manual. I mean, just went on and on and on. Just when I was about to quit, I said, Lord, I know you gave us this projector. I know you blessed it for us to be able to do children's church with. Show me what to do. I saw push one button, not two. But the manual says push two buttons. The Spirit of God goes, do you want your projector or don't you? I went, okay, clink. And all of a sudden, this thing goes, whoop, and there's Sheriff sitting over the other computer going, this big old blue light shining in her face. I just slid out of my chair and went, hallelujah. Do you remember that? I said, oh, God, after an hour and a half of wrestling with this, why didn't I pray to start with? Isn't that just like us, though? I mean, we'll labor and labor and labor with our own will and our own ability. And then at the last minute, we'll go, well, I guess it's finally come to the place where it's time to pray. And we just need to press in. We need to persevere. We need to have patience. And we need to have long suffering and not give up. We need to stick with it. That projector would have ended up in the trash and we would have been without a projector and it'd be nobody's fault but moi's. Amen. How many opportunities do we miss because we don't operate in long-suffering, patience, and endurance? Known Andrew since 85, you've known him even longer than that, but when he had his ministry down in Manitou, I mean, to believe in $3,000 was a big deal. And now look what he's believing for. Huh? Well, he didn't get that overnight. He pressed in and refused to quit, even when his board was telling him, it's over, guy. It's done. I remember that those days. You're done. You are bankrupt. And he refused to close the doors. And a check comes in for $60,000. We need to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, don't we? Give God a chance. Your spirit does not know give up. In your spirit, man, your spirit does not know the term give up. It's in there, isn't it? In Matthew 26:41, just write this down. Jesus is praying in the garden. He's about to be apprehended in the garden. And he turns to his disciples. And he told them to pray. And then when he went back, they were sleeping. And he makes this statement. He says, watch and pray Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What are you willing to walk in? Walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh? Are you going to walk in the fruit of the spirit, or are you going to walk in your carnal ways of doing things like you've always depended on before and fall short time and time again? And we're frustrated with ourselves because it seems like we never have a breakthrough. We never last long enough to get the breakthrough. And yet you've got this fruit of long-suffering on the inside of you that says, don't give up, keep pressing forward. But we haven't developed that on the inside of us to where we've got the courage and we've got the ability to say, no, I know that I know that I'm supposed to be doing this. And that I have this answer. And I am not bending. And it doesn't come from the flesh, my brothers and sisters. It comes from the spirit. And it's something that needs to be developed on the inside of us. Looking at the time here. So. Go to Philippians 4:10. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we're talking about long-suffering and forgiveness to people. Let's go to Luke 23:34. Sorry. Go to Luke 23:34. This is Jesus on the cross. And while you're turning there, let me read this to you from Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. How? With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. You see, there's three fruits right there. Is it possible for us to walk in that kind of power? Well, in Luke 23:34, Jesus on the cross, he says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. I mean, he was unjustly put on that cross. He was railroaded by his own people, by his own priests. And he says, forgive them. Don't hold it to their charge. Can we do that? Can we be long-suffering with people and forgive them even when they're treating us like dirt? Well, now I've had people say, well, that was Jesus. And that was God in the flesh. And so, of course, he could do it. Go to Acts 7:60. Go to Acts chapter 7, verse 60. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Because we're going to hear somebody do the exact same thing, and he waited tables for the Lord. This is Stephen. Just your average everyday person like you and me. Acts 7:60, as he's being stoned unjustly, trumped up charges on him, he's done nothing wrong but good. It says, and falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Lay it not to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in... He fell asleep in death. He was just an average Joe like you and me. But he had obviously developed something on the inside of him, didn't he? Something that Jesus had. So if he could do that, imitate Jesus in this capacity, can we? Man. But I'm telling you, it's not easy work. You're going to have to lay down your carnality and lay down your attitudes and lay down all, and you're going to have to pick up something different. If we have a tendency to get angry at people at the last, you know, every time somebody says something, we just have a snapback answer. Or when somebody cuts us off in lane, we're in the habit of cursing them out or giving them a little flag or something. Let the Holy Spirit check you. Give the Holy Spirit permission. Lord, I've got this, I've got this bad habit of responding negatively and being just plain out rude with people when they're not nice to me. And I give you permission to check me so that I don't just jump out there in the natural like I'm in the habit of doing. Wonderful Holy Spirit, help me develop a new habit of peace and patience and long-suffering, that I don't just jump out there and destroy my testimony and your testimony, but that I can walk in peace and love towards people, be long-suffering in situations that I haven't been in the habit of doing that. Let the Holy Spirit teach you and train you how to do this. It takes time, but the rewards are huge. They're just huge. And even though Stephen was stoned, out of that, Paul saw, standing there as the coach related his feet while they were stoning him, he could not get that image out of his mind of the grace and the long-suffering and the joy on Stephen's face as he was being stoned. How do we know that? Because on the road to Damascus, when Jesus met him there, he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute thou me? Why are you kicking against the pricks?" What does that mean, against the conviction? Well, what conviction? The conviction of what I just witnessed from this Christian man has just been burned into my consciousness, and I can't get that image out. Who is a man who can have that much grace while we're stoning him unjustly on trumped-up charges? He was wrestling with that. God had something to work with. And look at that. Because he was able to walk in that kind of grace and be stoned with that kind of grace, Saul became Paul. And we're reading his stuff right here. And evangelized the known world. I mean, built the first churches. You never know who you're affecting by walking in the fruit of the Spirit. You have no idea how you're affecting history and who you're affecting. Man, is this important? It's so important that we're able to walk in this. Man. Oh, where did I tell you to turn? Philippians 4:10, wasn't it? All right, I'm. You know what? We've like run out of time. We want to do communion. All right, 5 minutes, then we'll go to communion. James chapter 1. Let's get to the bottom line on this. James chapter 1, verse 2. Hey, man, we're learning where the scriptures are, aren't we? Man, the most I've been in the Word all week. Man, this is incredible. I actually had somebody say that. I preached in a church. It was Assemblies of God church, I think it was, or something like that. And after I preached the whole message, and I had a lot of relatives that went to that church, and I was a guest speaker. And at the end of it, you know, they had the pastor and myself, we would walk down through there while they were doing their, like, eulogy thing or whatever, so we could shake hands with everybody that comes out. And as they're coming out, people are going, and the pastor's standing right beside me, and they're saying stuff like, "That was the most word I've ever been in, and I can't remember when." I mean, I was like going, it was embarrassing, man. James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." That's long suffering. "But let patience have its perfect work." Note that patience does the work. The fruit does the work. "That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberty without reproach. For he gives it to you, for it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Practicing the fruit of the Spirit, practicing patience, practicing long-suffering will get you to the place where you're lacking nothing. But if you're not by faith operating in it, then you're like the wave tossed to and fro. Back in the days of James and Paul and those guys, these big ships, when a big old storm would rise up and the waves would batter and beat the ship, it would knock these ships way over like this. And then a lot of times they would just capsize and be lost. But in our modern time, we've developed something called the gyroscope. And inside of all of our big ships and whatnot, there are gyros. And I remember when I was a kid in school in science class, he had this great big, it was a spoked wheel off of a bicycle, and it had a handle on both ends. And he grabbed that, and he put it up to a motor that revved up the wheel. And the thing was flying. And then he, like that, he could let go of one side, and it would just stay steady, just stay straight up all by itself. He put it on the edge of a table, and it was just stood straight. It didn't fall or anything. It just stayed right up. He could even take on the other side and go bang, 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 and that thing was locked. The power of that gyroscope. So they put these in ships so that when they're beat by waves, these big ships are not tossed like that. The gyroscope keeps them rigid, keeps them pointing in the right direction, keeps them on course. They would have never gotten a space craft to the moon without gyroscopes. They had gyroscopes fixed so that when they made a course correction, it would just lock on. But because the earth moved and the moon moved constantly, they would constantly have to have a course correction to keep them on. But without the help of gyroscopes, they would have flung themselves out into space and have been just lost. There's no way they could have steered they needed the assistance of gyroscopes. And I'm here to tell you that you need the Holy Spirit as a gyroscope in your life to keep you on course. And you need to have the fruit of the Spirit operating on the inside of you so that it's like stability, so that you can receive the things from God, so that you're not pushed off of course. Amen. He is, and the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working with us, developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, causes us to stay the course, causes us to be locked solid on where we need to go. We can't do this on our own. But if we solicit the help of the Holy Spirit, which was given to us, then we can develop these fruits of the Spirit on the inside of us and be able to be locked solid and have a good stability in our lives. Amen? So that we're not tossed to and fro. Man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the Holy Spirit to help us develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that we can be rock solid like a gyroscope, that when you point us on a course, when you give us a vision, when you give us a calling, whatever mission that you have for us, that we're able to be solid, that we're able to not be tossed to and fro by the waves, but we stand against the waves and the waves batter us and they just bounce right off because we're able to have the stability in our lives like we need. You gave us all the tools that we need to accomplish in our lives what you've called us to. And this fruit of the Spirit that you have given us, Lord, we are dedicated to developing this fruit in our lives to such an extent that we cannot be moved. We are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Our hearts are established. Thank you, Lord. And that we're not moved with people that may come against us or may do things to us, but Lord, we're able to love them back. We're able to have a grace within us that, Lord, is such a shining testimony so that we look just like you here on the earth, forgiving and loving, having joy in a non-joyous situation, having peace when everybody else doesn't have any, that we can be a shining testimony unto you, Lord, and long-suffering towards other people and the circumstances around us. We just thank you, Lord. And as we do that, it gives you the ability to step in and take care of our situation for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because the fruit of the Spirit developed in us gives us the ability to have faith in you that you got this. You can take care of this. I'm handing it over to you. I'm going to humble myself under your mighty hand. I'm going to let you take care of it. And I'm just going to sleep at night and I'm going to have peace and joy. And everything's going to be just fine. Everything's good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you, praise you, praise you.